Every now and then in life, we have a subject that we don't want to talk about. That subject ranges from so many different things, but the one thing that we don't like to talk about is life insurance. The old people used to say that we talk about this as jinxing everything. Does it start just with being black? Because the most of the time that I ever heard this thing was somebody of color who said this, including my mother. I grew up with that whole notion that I don't want to talk about this right now because we're jinxing all of everything, or the moment I do it, something's going to happen. That's not true. White people teach their children the responsibilities of having insurance so that way they don't leave the burden on anybody else. But we're going to get down to the bottom of it just so we can figure out to help make people feel a little comfortable. So sit back while we kick off our next episode. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Open Discussion. I'm your host, Daryl Carr. Even I'm finding a hard time talking about this subject, but it's a subject that we have to talk about. Life insurance. How many of you people out there right now currently have life insurance? Or how many people out there thinking they don't want to talk about this? Today, I'm bringing on a guest speaker by the name of Donna Everett, a life insurance specialist, and today we're going to sit back and talk about the importance of having life insurance, some of the things you need to know about life insurance, and how we go about being comfortable with talking about this subject with family and friends, especially if you're one of those individuals out there that don't have it. Miss Everett, how you doing?
Great. Thanks. How are you,
sir? I'm doing good. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I really appreciate you taking time out from your busy schedule to be part of this, I feel, major discussion. From going over your notes, I know you've been 30 years plus in the business as a life insurance agent. I know you've varied throughout different companies over the years. Let's give the people out there a little background history onto yourself.
Okay, sure, absolutely. I've been in finance for a long, long time, as you said, for over 30 years. I started out with the big companies, of course. I've worked for Smith Barney, New York Life, Mass Mutual, all the big companies. And I learned a tremendous amount of information, you know, in regards to life insurance. You know, so, and I also learned the importance of having it simply because life insurance has been around since the 1800s, right? So it's something that people talk about, but necessarily like at a party or at a gathering. We talk about it privately because we think, like you said, there's something generally a jinx of some sort or a myth that we think about that it will give us a way of jinxing ourselves that something's going to happen to us. So that's not the case. You know, it's all about information. You know, information is the key. Research is the key. And it's something that, you know, you have to have knowledge on. I think sometimes we stay away from things because we're not knowledgeable and we don't have enough information. Mm-hmm. But we have all different types of insurance, right? We have homeowners insurance that serves some, you know, serves a purpose. We have automobile insurance that definitely serves a purpose, you know? So there are different ways of looking at this, so but it's not necessary. It's necessary now.
So let me ask you a question. What do you, when you interviewing somebody for life insurance or someone comes to you, like, what do you feel is the major hurdle with them on getting life insurance? Do you feel it's more like you really have to go an extra mile, especially if they're a person of color, to push them or coach them into taking out life insurance? Do you feel like they have any stigmatisms at that moment?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Our culture is very, very tough. Mm-hmm. Simply because they're not thinking about it. They don't see the importance of it. They only go by what they've heard. And they go by judgment. You know, mm-hmm. they're not going by information, mm-hmm. education. The problem is that we're not educated on this subject. Mm-hmm. And I, the first thing I do with my clients is I educate them mm-hmm. before I even suggest anything. You know, I find out your goals. I find out what you want to do. I find out what you're doing right now. There's a lot that goes in it. You know, there's a lot of components. But that's absolutely right. We're a very tough culture to introduce it to. And we're slacking on that. Mm-hmm. We're slacking on it.
I think,
you know, there's a lot of things that you can, a lot of benefits to it.
I think a lot of people feel like if I let somebody take insurance out on me, maybe they may try to kill me or something like that. you do hear certain cases where, you know, a woman takes out a $100 million policy on her husband, and 2 weeks later he's found floating in somebody's ocean.
Right, exactly.
But
that's not the majority.
No, it's not the majority. But I'm just saying, those are some of the things. Like my mother used to say, you know, if I let you take out insurance on me, you might pitch something in my food. But no, nobody's mm-hmm. going to do that. But that's how they lighten it to make it a joke, but also to be serious to a point like, I don't want to do that. Something may happen now. You know,
that myth.
I understand.
It's a myth.
I understand. There's a lot of things about life insurance. Like I didn't know about the term life, the whole life, you know, and the various other aspects of it. I just talking to people when I thought about this show, it wasn't whether or not they knew about term life or whole life. It was just the whole concept of insurance. I don't know. I don't think so. I'm not ready for that right now. I'm still young. But like I used to try to tell people, it don't really make a difference on how old you are. You still need it for just in case, you know? Like you just said earlier, we need car insurance. We need homeowners insurance. We need all these various types of insurance for just in case something happens. You know, but it just seemed like people of color have this stigmatism. So mm-hmm. let me ask you a question. How do you go about educating people who are not so sure about getting life insurance? How do you go about educating them?
I break it down for them.
Okay.
You know, in the very beginning of the conversation,
mm-hmm.
I go over exactly what the purpose is.
Okay.
Right? And then I get to the specific product, right? Breaking down each product. Each product has a different purpose, right? Okay. So, for example, term mm-hmm. may be used for mortgage insurance. Say if you have a married couple and one of them unexpectedly passes, the other parent or a spouse is left with a mortgage.
How are they paying for? Yeah, that's true.
Right? And especially if the breadwinner passed.
Because most of the time, the breadwinner is the man, some of the time. And so, yeah, if he passed and he's left leaving X amount of money on the mortgage, so now that leaves the wife figuring out how she's going to make it. Oh, okay.
How is she going to do it? And if there are children involved, oh, yeah, absolutely. Right? For example, if the man passed and he was the breadwinner, now she has to come up with the mortgage insurance every month. She now has to come up with extra money for the children. Right? Mm-hmm. How is she going to handle everything? Right? there have been cases, you know, because I've been in the business so long, I know there's just been lots of different scenarios. If she is if she's not making as much, she may have to sell the house. She may have to move immediately. Therefore, her zip code is going to change. She may have to sell her car. Wow. The private school of the children, they may have to go to public school now. Their whole life can change.
Wow. Wow. Right? Yeah, that can turn a situation way upside down.
Way upside down. That's a perfect way of putting it, upside down. Mm. Because you had this perfect life, right? And then something like this happens unexpectedly, yeah. Right? And then we're caught off guard. Mm-hmm. And it's like, now what? Mm-hmm. But if you had that term insurance in place, you would be able to pay off the house, or you would have that money to pay payments towards that mortgage. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have to worry about that. Life would continue as is, except for, you know, that you lost your spouse. But yeah, financially, it will continue as is.
So,
you know.
All right, so that's somewhat, because I got to think like my audience would think. That's almost like a perfect world. Husband's breadwinner, wife is at home making something or doing something. But what about the people who don't own a home, who don't have those assets to worry about? How would they be able to maybe afford life insurance to go about getting it? Or how would they do it? Because a lot of people will sit there, and somebody raised a question to me not too long ago on Twitter. Like, okay, well, I can't afford it right now. What do you say to people that say that? Or have you encountered people that said that to you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's another thing we go through. I can't afford it right now. I never told you how much it cost. I never said how much it cost.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. So you're assuming. That's a big assumption that we also have. Right? Oh, it's going to cost me a whole lot. No. It depends. Now, life insurance is based on age and health.
Okay.
Right? So you determine, that's determined by the quote. I mean, your quote is determined by that. Right? Mm-hmm. Depends on how old you are.
Okay.
So the younger, I always tell young people, it's a perfect time to get life insurance because it's going to be extremely affordable.
Okay.
I'm not even going to say cheap. I'm going to say affordable.
Okay.
Right? So what you have to do is, yeah, I tell them actually, well, let's just back up for a second, right? You have to give me some pertinent information. I'll tell you how much it costs, right? Normally, term is not as expensive as whole life. Mm-hmm. Like I said in the beginning, there are different purposes. Term is a little more affordable than whole life, which is permanent insurance, right? A lot of people don't know the difference.
A lot of people don't.
But those people, you know, who don't know the difference, that's what the education comes in.
A lot of people don't, because I asked this question, and a lot of people did not know the difference between term and whole life. And at one point, including myself, I just thought that you get life insurance and that was it. But no, you have the whole term thing. You have the whole life. Can you break it? Can you break it down for the audience?
Oh, sure. Well, let's take term, for example. Term is short for temporary. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's exactly what it is. Temporary insurance. Used for a certain purpose. Right? So it's affordable. Right? It's much cheaper than whole life, like I said. And it usually has a certain amount of time attached to it, which could mean it could be a 10-year term, a 15-year term, a 20-year term, a 30-year term. With term, you don't have what you would have with the whole life, it's permanent insurance. You only have that specific death benefit. For example, if the death benefit is $100,000, your beneficiary will get $100,000.
And that's
when the time comes. And that's the term. And so if it gets close to the time that it's going to expire, because it will, right? It'll go on for a certain amount of time, and you know, till maybe the 80s. It depends on when you get it, right? A lot of people I'm finding get a term policy and have no idea when it expires. You have to know that, right? Because if that 20 years ago and you're in your 19th year, guess what?
So let's say
you have to get more.
So let's say the term life expires, right? And let's say it was expired from about 3 years, and then that person becomes deceased. Is that policy still good enough for the beneficiary to take care of business?
What happens is the term, if it's a 20-year term, in the 20th year, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. For example, if it hits that 20th year, you should never let it hit that 20th year. You should try to get insurance prior to that, more insurance, I would say, simply because again, insurance is based on age and health, mm-hmm. right?
Okay.
So now you will have to get another policy. Now you're older, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
And now you may have health conditions.
Okay.
Right? So sometimes the companies will have convertible term, which means you can convert it at a specific time. They give you 10 years. It depends on the company. You can convert it into whole life, which is, you know, protecting yourself even more
mm-hmm.
from expiring. But if it gets close to this expiration, you're now stuck, right? Simply because here's a policy getting ready to expire. Now you're older, and now you're going to get a new policy at a certain age now.
So that original term life you had is expired, so it's no good. So you can't cash on anything with that.
You can't cash on it. It has no value other than the death benefit. Oh, it's not going to get any dividends or any interest. It's just going to be a straight term, which is going to be that specific death benefit.
Okay, so.
And that is it.
Okay, so if it expires, only thing you will get is that $100,000 that is worth. That's it.
That's it.
Okay, because I had to clear that, because even I thought once it expires, that means everything is washed away. You know, like you don't get that policy at all. And
it is washed away. It is washed. It's expired now. It's gone.
But if it's expired for 3 years, can you still bury that person with that $100,000?
It depends on the time period, wow. right? If we have a 20-year policy.
Gotcha.
It's essentially telling you, you have to die within that 20 years.
Damn.
And normally people don't. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It is one of the least paid out products there is.
Mm.
Right? Because, you know, I shouldn't say this, that's how insurance, you know, but that's, it, again, it serves a purpose, right?
Gotcha.
Mortgage protection. You may have kids in college, going to college, and you may want to do a term policy for a certain amount of time just in case something happens to you. They'll have money to continue their education.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Okay. It serves different purposes. So some people who know will take it out, will have different levels of term. You know, they'll take a certain amount, maybe a 20-year here, a 10-year here. And if they're doing that because they're doing it to serve a purpose of something.
Okay.
Right? It may be mortgage. It may be for the children. It may be, you know, different purposes. But, it depends on the policy. So if the policy expires within that 20-year, you hit the 20-year, now it's gone, right?
Mm-hmm.
It will be, and it's gone in a way of, it'll still continue if you let it, but it will be at an unbelievable premium. For example, if it's $100 a month,
mm-hmm.
if it hits that 20th time, because that is the contract between the insured and the company.
Uh-huh.
We will give you protection for 20 years at that $100 price.
Gotcha.
As guaranteed. Right? But once you hit that 20th year, we are no longer obligated to give you that policy, still insure you for $100. So now I think we should be at $800.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So it can go from 100 to 700, 800, because there's no longer a guarantee. So normally people get another insurance policy because you're not going to pay those prices.
No.
It could be in the thousands, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, without making it all complicated, but that's generally what happens. Wow. You know, so term serves a certain purpose for a certain period of time. You know, I'm a firm believer in the whole life because it lasts your whole life it's permanent.
Let's talk about the whole life. Let's give us a...
The whole life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the benefit.
Yes.
I call it a living benefit.
A living benefit.
Right?
Okay.
A living benefit versus temporary. Temporary insurance is a death benefit, right? Mm-hmm. And the permanent insurance is guaranteed, right? It has a guaranteed death benefit. Depending on the company, that guaranteed death benefit may increase based on the amount of money that you're putting in and based on the dividends that you're getting from the company.
Okay.
Which goes into what they call cash value.
Okay.
It's like a 401. Mm. It's like a 401 in that sense, right? Some people relate to it like that. You know, I have to say that sometimes, you know. It's like creating your own pension type of fund. And the difference is you own it.
Okay.
Right? People have policies outside of work simply because work, I love it. When they said, I'm covered. Yeah, you're covered with term. Yeah, and it only benefits the beneficiary. Mm-hmm. You know, because you don't own the policy. The company owns the policy. So if you pass, you know, then they'll pay the death benefit. Okay, yes, it's way cheaper because you're on a group rate. If you leave that company, you will lose that insurance. So a lot of people get other insurance outside. So going back to the permanent, so it has the permanent death benefit. It has the guaranteed cash value, right? And it's also guaranteed premium, which means that premium will never change.
Okay.
For the rest of your life.
So never, for the rest of your life, that premium never will remain the same. Okay. All right.
Increase will not decrease. Right? Unless you decrease the policy, then that changes.
Okay.
But that's you altering it. But it doesn't. It's guaranteed. So these are the guarantees of life. And life insurance is guaranteed. Right? The only a few things guaranteed. Taxes and life insurance. Right? So there are a lot of benefits to the whole life. Right? So a lot of people will say, well, I actually see where my money's going. Mm-hmm. You know, versus the term, yeah, you're going to lose it. It's like car insurance,
mm-hmm.
right? It's lost. You know, if you change it, it's gone, you know, whatever. You're not going to get your money back or anything like that. You know, it's gone, right? Mm-hmm. So the permanent, you'll see you put in a certain amount and you see it growing. It's like an upward curve. Life insurance doesn't dip like that. It doesn't, it's not tied to the stock market.
Gotcha.
Right. Yeah. Some people think it's tied to the stock market. No, it's not. So there is a certain type of life insurance, which is more complicated, the variable life that is tied to the stock market. Mm. But that's getting into more complicated stuff. So right. We just want to keep it simple.
Yes. So, okay. So let me ask you another question. With the whole life, can you borrow against your insurance? Can you take money from out of it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can borrow money from that policy. You know, the cash value.
Okay.
That's the cash value. And it takes time to build. You know, it's not a bank account, mm-hmm. you know, and it's not an investment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Some people try to compare it to the stock market. Oh, you know, I got to see it coming, you know, making a certain percentage. No, that's not what it's for.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's a long-term situation that in long-term insurance. And that's the category it has to stay in. You know, part of your portfolio consists of insurance. The most successful people in the world, even not successful people, have life insurance.
Yeah.
Necessary. Yes, nowadays, especially. Right? So there are a lot of benefits to that life insurance. Yeah, if you need it, you can use it as an emergency, but it's there. Right? And you see it increasing or not. You know, it depends on the company, you know, but there are a lot of benefits. So I call it a living benefit.
Mm-hmm.
While you're alive, you can use it.
So let me ask you something. During the time of COVID, did you see like a scramble in people trying to get life insurance or just tell me what some of the things you experienced during the COVID scene being a life insurance agent?
Yes, COVID. COVID exposed people in a way of their financial, it exposed them in a way of, what have you been doing? Right? You have a life insurance policy. Mm-hmm. It was like a wake up call. People were scrambling. Oh my God, I don't have a life insurance policy. Oh my goodness, people, you know, this certain person died and they didn't have any insurance. Now we got to do a GoFundMe. Now we got to get this money together as a family. And it was a mess. It was a mess. So it kind of exposed people into showing them that they didn't really put a lot of thought into that. Right? They don't have enough. They didn't have the right insurance. You know, I ran into a gentleman not too long ago. I asked him, did he have insurance? And he said, yeah, I have plenty of insurance. I have $1 million in term. I looked at the policy and I was horrified.
Wow.
All this time, he thought he had term insurance and it was actually accidental.
Wow.
Yeah, it had blown my mind. You know, I was just taken back by that. But to get back to the COVID, it just exposed everybody, you know, it told people that they needed more insurance. And it told people that you really got to think about, you know, your family. And what have you been doing? I mean, you know, you didn't put any thought into it. So it just exposed on how much you had. Mm. And you realized you didn't have enough.
Yeah. So.
Or at all.
So now, post-COVID, do you see an influx and more people wanting life insurance now? Do you see people stepping up their game on it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. The insurance business is really, really, it's really gone crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm extremely busy. Mm-hmm. I had to actually make time to do this show, and it was very important to me because it's just something that needs to be talked about.
It does, and that's why you was the perfect person to have for this, because it just seemed like there's so many people out there that just still got your young folks that really don't understand the value of having insurance. It's something that's, I don't really need that, but yeah, you do. Especially now, like you said, that COVID exposed a whole lot of people and what they was doing, not what they were doing, what they wasn't doing in terms of preparing for a situation like this, you know.
Right.
And even my mother, being as old school she was, you know, thank God we had it, but she didn't have insurance. I saw where she started something, and then I guess midway towards it, either she forgot about it or just got spooked about it and just let it go, you know. And and most of us still carry this old school stigmatism, you know, that they don't want to talk about. They don't want to have it because, what if something do happen now? Or what if I do get sick? Well, if you do, then that means everything will be taken care of for you. You don't have to be on that Facebook page. And I've seen so many of them, the GoFundMe accounts.
All the time.
And I understand it, but it's sad.
Right.
You know? But then I understand the point where you got some family who can't afford whatever it is a month, in a sense. You got that stay-at-home mom who's taking care of four kids who may be receiving public assistance who don't have X amount of money to give a month. You know? So that, to me, leaves them at a disadvantage. At a disadvantage. Okay. So, you know, it's just something that had to be talked about, and I'm so glad you came on.
So, yeah, and let's get to that for a second.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Working families. I kind of look at it as a working family, as a working single mom who is just trying to make it, right? But here's the thought behind that.
Uh-huh.
What if something happens to her?
Yeah.
You know? It's a deeper thought. Right? What if something happens? Things happen nowadays. You know? Who's going to take care of my kids if something happens to me? I'm a single mom. Mm-hmm. Right? How am I going to afford this insurance? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So here's the answer. It's a solution, I would say. Final expense. Do a final expense policy. And they call it final expense simply because it's a policy that's affordable, right? Mm-hmm. It's not that much insurance, right? It serves the purpose of burying the person, not making the family rich, because that's when you're going to get into the higher policies.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. You're not trying to, you know, for the family to hit the lotto, you know, it's just not like that. So you can start out with a final expense policy. It could be a $5,000, it could be $10,000, it could be $20,000, it could be $25,000. Now, depending on your age, that will determine the premium. But at least you have something and nothing.
So for somebody that's sitting there right now who may be considering it, they're looking for that number. Well, what is the what could my premium possibly be in range of? So let's say you got, okay, so let's use a female that's 35 right now with three small kids, and she's making ends meet and stuff like that. How much would a 35-year-old premium cost? Is that something we can talk about, or?
Well, it would be, you know, I couldn't really tell you how much, because there are issues with that, along with that. You know, you have to, not only the age, which you had given me, but I'm not sure of her health yet.
Okay. Oh, right? Okay.
So, yeah, so it has to be determined that she would be healthy. If she's healthy, the premium may not necessarily be, I'm going to just throw a number out there. It wouldn't be more than 100 a month.
Okay.
Yeah, it wouldn't be more than 100. Now, if she's 35 and she's in great health, not more than 50. Sorry, not more than $50.
Not more than $50, right? Okay.
Not more than $50 because she's 35 and she's at a young age. She's young. At a younger age. Yeah, she's young.
She's young,
right.
She's healthy, she got three kids. Mm-hmm.
She's
working,
yeah.
She got no ailments. So you say about 50.
It could be 50, could be 60. But it's under 100. Mm-hmm. I put it that way. It would be under 100.
Okay.
Right? It would be, 25 to 100. Okay. I'm going to just, make a range, right? But you can also tailor it. Like I said before, I can customize it for it to be affordable for you. Mm-hmm. Right?
Okay.
So we don't have to start out with a $20,000 policy. We can start out with a 10.
Mm-hmm.
Right, which will cut the premium half. Right,
gotcha.
I've done premiums for $20, $25. Okay. You know, it depends on the situation, but at least it's something.
Something is better,
right,
than nothing.
In place. Something is better than nothing, and also you can do that. Something right, exactly. Something is better than nothing. If you're at a financial hardship at that moment, you know, at least you have something in place.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, if you come into some money or something, your life changes in a way, your financial situation changes, you can always add to it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay.
But, you know, that's the solution, you know, going to doing something different, which is like a final expense policy.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. Okay. So we touched upon the GoFundMe. I know you've seen a lot of those GoFundMe around the time of COVID and stuff like that. I did too. A lot of them were sad, you know, COVID related illnesses and the person's past. But it was like, I've seen so many. It was like, wow, nobody thought about the whole, whole insurance thing. Like, it was so many people, and even people in my family, and that was made it whole. Yeah. And that's what made it sad. And that's why we got to figure out a way to like educate people enough to have something down in case something happens.
Absolutely.
So you gave us a difference between term and whole life and stuff like that. And your whole thing, you say you like to educate your people that don't know about it. So what are some of the things a person needs in order to close out on getting a policy with you?
I would need their date of birth,
mm-hmm.
their social.
Mm-hmm.
I would need, obviously their address. maybe their height and weight. Nothing much. Which the bigger companies, you're going to need a, you know, a lot of information. They're going to require a lot of information from the person. You know, all their financial information, what's in their bank account, you know, a lot of things. So, but with me, it's just those date of birth, social, height and weight, and your doctor's information. You know, sometimes the person may need a medical, and they may not. You know, that's another myth. They, oh gosh, I have to take a medical, this and that. You know, but this it's for the insurance company to find out if you're a smoker. If you're a smoker, the premium tends to be a little higher, right? And that's because you're a smoker, right? Okay. So, just those things. You know, not much information. What you're, you know, making a month and versus. They just want to know if you can pay for the policy. And some health questions, and that's it.
Now, next big question. How does one go about finding an insurance company or finding someone that they can attach themselves to start the process for their insurance? How do they go about finding one if they don't know?
If they're not sure, a lot of people look online, and they just put in whatever insurance. And a lot of times it's word of mouth. They'll ask around, you know, which insurance company, if it's, you know, if it's a topic of conversation, they'll ask. But you can generally look online, and you can, it can be word of mouth, you know, it could be a show like this, of course. And, you know, generally it's word of mouth. And, it, you know, it's for us as specialists and agents, we tend to work on referrals, you know, simply because, you know, we've helped someone and you know, of course, talk to, you know, anyone that they know. And, you know, that's how you, you know, make it a generation. You know, it's sometimes it's locked in as a generational wealth. You know, sometimes I had a family that wanted to get insurance for their dad. You know, all the siblings chipped in to pay for the premium.
Okay.
Every month. You know, so it's like building a legacy. I also go over this with juvenile policies.
Okay.
You know, which is getting insurance while the child is small. If the child is, if I do an insurance policy for the child for $20 a month, guess what? That $20 will be the same until they're 100. Remember, it never changes. The premium never changes. And that's the benefit and beauty of it, of getting the insurance for children. Oh, I don't want to, you know, it goes back to the same thing you said earlier. You know, no, I don't want to jinx my child. Like, oh gosh, no. Okay, no, no.
It's like, you know, it's almost when you mention insurance to some people, it's almost like you said a curse word to them.
Curse, right. You know, it's like,
wait a minute. Whoa. We're not talking about that. We're talking about just in case.
You know. Yeah, you leaving the room? Taking out the room this time? Come on. It's something that needs to be, it's necessary now. It's, you know, it's all in your mindset, right? It's just having an open mind, hearing a discussion, right? Educating yourself. I don't mind. And, you know, I'll talk to anyone and educate them about, you know, the process, the structure, the differences. You know, sometimes, like I said earlier, we just don't want to hear about it because we think it's, you know, no, stop thinking like that. We don't think that if we thought that way about car insurance, we would never get in the car.
There you go.
There you go.
We probably, right? Most of us probably never drive. We thought that way. We'd be like, I don't know.
No, I don't think so.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I don't do that because, you know, I think I'm going to get in an accident. So. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get car insurance because I think already I'm going to be in an accident.
Exactly.
No, you can't do that. No. You can't do that, right? But we insure everything else. And we spend money on everything else.
I know people that will insure a TV, a 46-inch, and they'll make sure they get the warranty on that, and they'll pay down on that.
And that's I'm right, like, 5 years.
You know, they'll do 5 years. They'll spend the $250 on it. I'm like, right. I don't understand the purpose of it. If it breaks down, you got it for $300. It breaks down, just get a new one. But
that's right.
But they do that.
They do that. and every year getting a new TV. I finally said, I was in Best Buy, at Christmas time. I said, good Lord, look at all these TVs that they had on the floor that were ready to go.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
It's crazy.
The concept of this was to reach people, to give them a little bit more of understanding on insurance and how they can go about it. And hopefully it'll aid in making a wise decision, you know, because a no decision just isn't enough. It won't protect you or your family in case you have that nice home and now you leave people. The worst thing you could do, I feel, is to leave people scrambling, because then that's when people have to bury you in ways that you don't want to be buried. That's when now cremations now have went up so much, you know, because, well, I can't put them in the ground, so I got to burn them. I got to cremate them, you know. Right. And that may not have been your final wish, but you left, you rested your future in somebody else's hands that can't afford to bury you.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's not fair. I don't think it's fair for you to leave somebody the bill on, you know, that's like you destroying an apartment. You destroy it completely and you leave it for one of your family members to clean up. That's not right.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. And it comes again.
And I get we can't tell a person what to do with their life. But think about how you're leaving everybody else's life after you're gone. It's important. It's so important.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And with that being said, you know, when you die, right, your bills don't die.
No.
They're still alive and kicking.
Yeah, because if you have any type of estate, you know, and you're responsible for that estate, you have to continue to pay that or pay it off. You know?
Exactly.
So leaving money behind, you know, leaving money behind, the person who's in charge of your estate now can clear out all your debt.
Then
you got somebody listen and say, well, I was born in this world broke. I died broke. It is what it is. I can't pay it. You can't get blood from out of the turnip. You're right, but don't leave it for somebody who truly cared about you to take care of your expenses.
Right. And even with a spouse, you know, I'll sometimes hear that, oh, I don't want to leave my wife or my husband so much money because they're going to enjoy it with someone else. That's another. I'm like, oh, gosh, you know.
Please, you ain't going to know what's going on. So you
right. Exactly. It's like, no. Come on. You have kids.
Yeah.
You have kids, you know, even when divorces. With a divorce, the judge makes sure both parents have life insurance.
The judge does?
I did that at the policy. Yes, that's right.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yes.
Wow. Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. Make sure you have life insurance.
So what
if you have to protect yourself.
So the judge does that audit to make sure both have life insurance. Let's say neither one of them does. What happens? Do we know?
It's a must. Go back to court. You know, that's something that I don't know the ins and outs of that part, but I know it's something that they must have.
Mm.
They must have it. You know, it's a requirement.
Oh, interesting.
You know, I'm not sure how much they enforce it, but that's something that they have to have.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, especially if they're divorced now and then their kids, of course, if there are kids, you know, in the situation, it's a must, you know. So I've had that. I've had a family come to me, listen, my daughter needs life insurance because she's getting a divorce and the judge is requiring. And I think they said there was paperwork behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So they do definitely enforce it.
Wow.
I'm not sure to what degree, but, you know.
In a way, that's kind of cool, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of cool. Maybe that's what we need. We need somebody to like enforce us having insurance, so that way, you know.
Canada does.
See, there you go. Maybe if we had that, it'd help with situations and not leaving family members to scramble up and do the GoFundMe
thing. Absolutely. You have to have insurance in Canada.
Because now we got people, and I'm going to touch upon this lightly because I'm still doing some research, and I might have somebody on for that. But we have people now trying to start up this whole living trust thing. I know you know about that. And a lot of people are talking about the living trust in terms of having generational wealth, passing it on to family members without, you know, the courts getting involved. It just picks up from where it goes. You know, somebody explained it to be like, okay, let's say you got bank accounts with $5,000 in each, that when you die, everything gets shut down and you have to go to court to prove X, Y, and Z. But now when you have the living trust, you know, if something was to happen to you, all right, you get taken off. The next person steps up to it to inherit that trust. And now everything is filtered and cycled out through that trust through them. So that's like the whole thing that a lot of people are gaining that momentum talking about now.
Yeah, absolutely. Because sometimes your finances and everything gets stuck in probate.
Yeah.
Now what?
Mm-hmm.
It's tied up now.
Mm-hmm.
It could be tied up for years in probate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, that's why it's important. You know, even with the funeral homes, if you talk about the funeral homes for a minute, even during COVID, they were extremely overwhelmed.
Yeah, I heard.
You know, not because of the, you know, all the people, but because people didn't have a way of paying for it. You know, now they're requiring you to change their method of payment. Now you have to have a cashier's check.
A cashier's check, even though you got insurance.
Yeah, well, the insurance company has to give you the beneficiary and money, and then you gotta have to go to the bank and get a cashier's check, and then give it to the funeral home. Now,
So that's a
lot of the funeral home. That's a new thing now. Yeah, because of COVID, I guess maybe they weren't getting paid. And they had, you know, they didn't know what to do. And, you know, I guess it was a lot of confusion with that because people didn't have policies. And then if they had a policy, they didn't know where it was. That's another thing. I have a specific piece of paper where you jot down all your family information on there. And it covers, it's like your name, your address, the person that would be in charge of your final arrangements, your last will and testament, all a description of your estate information, which includes your different policies. That's another thing that happens. People will pass, and nobody knows where the policy is.
That is, you know what? That is true because, like I said, my mother may not have an insurance policy. I know she had something, but I couldn't find nothing. You know, I found a number to an insurance place, but and then I found a policy number, but it was ripped, so numbers were missing. So I had nothing to go on. We just took care of it, you know. So it's possibly one sitting out there somewhere for, but it's been 17 years now, so it's in the wind.
That's
true. People, I mean, even including myself, I'm secretive on certain things. So I wouldn't divulge where I have certain papers at to certain people. I just wouldn't do that. But I do feel like if you're married to somebody, you know, you should have it somewhere so that way, hey, if something happens, this is where you go. You know,
right.
But a lot of people don't do that. And some, like you said earlier, how the lady said, oh, I don't want to leave my husband all that money. You know, but it's to make sure you get a good send off. And to make sure whatever else in the house needs to get taken care of. Look at it as leaving them a gift, you know?
Right, exactly, exactly. And also, on this piece of paper, you also have your funeral service request. Do you want to be cremated? Do you want to be have a burial? Where do you want to be buried? These things are important to get into, you know, a little bit more details. These things are just as important. I had a family come to me and they said, you know, we know my brother had a policy, you know, he told us he had a policy, but we have no idea where it is. Can you help me? I couldn't. My hands are tied. I have no idea what company he had. And so, neither did they. They didn't know.
So let me ask you a question with that. There's no way of finding out anything. Like, there's no registry or anything like that where you can look up to see if a person has a policy? No way to find?
Not that I know of. Yeah, because it depends on the company.
Wow.
Yeah, you have to know. And that's why I find out. And people are, when they do business with me, they're pretty ecstatic about this specific piece of paper here that tells everything here. You don't have the policy, but this form right here tells you which type of life insurance you have. Normally, people have five different types of insurance. Maybe they'll have a whole term, an accident, a disability insurance policy, right? But here, I listed the different types of policies that I have. You know, and I'll tell my mother or I'll tell my brother, you know, and I'll have it notarized, whatever. But at least it's on one piece of paper. And at least if something happens to me, they'll know, okay, I need to go to such and such because she had a policy with you guys. I may not necessarily have a policy, but I know she has one with this company. At least you have something to stand on.
There you go.
Right? Knowing which company you need to let them know. Because they won't know. There are millions of people with policies. They're not going to know. They're going to need the information. They're going to need the policy number. Mm-hmm. Right? Or the name. But at least you'll know the company that you need to address the situation to. So I found that to happen a lot as well.
Okay, there we go.
So it's important. And even with this, shed a light on that too. Also, on a specific piece of paper, you also, if you have kids, you can also give the person that you trust special instructions. Like if you have two kids, you know, I want such and such to take care of my kids if something happens to me. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You get it notarized.
Wow.
You know, it's a lot of things that you can do to save the heartache of the beneficiary or beneficiaries. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're scrambling to try and find. It's a mess, and they go into the house and they can't find anything. They don't have no idea where anything is. And that's what used to happen back in the day. They just couldn't find the policies. They just couldn't find them, you know, and that's exactly what happened.
Because only the individual know where they put their papers at. Because even if, you know, I got a safe and everything like that, but if you look in the safe, you're not going to find what you're looking for. You know, I have it a certain place. You know, so if something, God forbid, something was to happen to me right now, nobody would know where that place is at. Nobody would know that is in a pouch. Nobody would know that.
You know? Right. But, but they don't have to have the policy, right? They don't have to need to know where, but at least mention it to someone that, you know, if ever something happens to me, it's at such and such company.
Yes. Leave that around so that way people can find it.
Right, exactly. So if they don't find the policy itself, you don't have to have the policy to do the claim.
Okay.
Right? It's just something that the person had, you know, the company delivered to the person, and the person has it. Right? But in order to make a claim, you don't have to have that initial policy in your hand. Mm-hmm. Right? At least you'll know which company, you know, my such and such had the policy at your company. So we need to investigate now and see how much you have. They have all the information. Mm-hmm. Right?
There you go.
They don't base it on, you have to deliver us the policy and then we'll pay out the claim. No, it doesn't work like that.
No. You just got to have that. You just got to know that company, know that name. And if you got a policy number, that helps.
That helps. And they can look it up. They'll find it.
So in closing,
it's based on the name.
So in closing, tell people how they can get in contact with you. That's one. And two, giving you the floor, reach out to someone and try to explain the importance that it really, the point that it is to have insurance. The floor is yours.
Okay. Thank you, y'all. I can be reached at, I can give you my email. Mm-hmm. It would be dreambig4424@gmail.com. Again, let me repeat that. Dream Big, DREAM Big, BIG 4424 @gmail.com. And again, my name is Dana Everett. I would love to have a conversation with anyone. As if you have any questions, I love answering questions. And to me, it's fulfilling for me. And I'm really, really extremely passionate about this business. So, you know, I help people all the time, individuals, families, people that are just lost in what they need to do next. I have a team as well. If you need, you know, estate information, disability information, disability information as far as insurance is concerned. But I'm always willing to have that conversation because I think it's extremely important, especially nowadays, to be educated on what you can do. Don't think you can't do it. It is possible. We can work it out. I'm always customizing something for someone based on their affordability. That's important to me as well as the other person. I want to make your mind at ease, right? And simply because you probably have thoughts about, oh, I don't need that. And, oh, you know, no. Speak to someone like myself who knows the ins and outs of it, the benefits of it, the pros, the cons. There are cons, you know, to be truthful, there are cons, but there are a lot of pros, right? Don't assume it's expensive. It's affordable. Like I said earlier, I can do a $20, $30, $40 policy, at least you'll have something. But let's address this, especially as a culture, especially educating our brothers and sisters and making them knowledgeable about this whole thing about insurance. Okay. It's necessary. It's something we need. It's not something we want necessarily, right? But we need it. It's essential now. It has to be part of our portfolios. It has to be something that we have to have right now, especially now that we're living in a different era. We have different things going on out here in the world. Why not just educate yourself and just talk to me? I would love to have a conversation with anybody in regards to life insurance. Okay. And I want to thank you, Daryl, for having me on the show today.
All right. I really appreciate you for coming on. I hope later on in the future, if you know, if you don't have a busy schedule, I can have you back on for something else. But I definitely appreciate you reaching out to the audience. And I hope someone out there who's listening can gravitate towards this and maybe get their affairs in order. It's never too late. It's never too late. I thank you so much. And I'll definitely be talking back with you again soon.
Thank you so much.
All right. Leaving somebody with the final option of burying you is not an easy task. I've been through it a couple of times myself and having to deal with my parents and stuff like that and seen other family members have to do that same thing. And it's not easy. You know, trying to scratch your head to figure out X, Y, and Z, trying to remember what it is that you said you wanted. It's hard. We shouldn't make it harder by not having something in place. Now, I'm not saying, okay, people are talking about, oh, well, I'm going to leave all this money. Look, it's not a matter of leaving all this money or leaving that money. It's a matter of not leaving somebody left hole in a bill, you know, that you could have possibly handled or took care of yourself for a moment that possibly could have happened. You know, we all don't want to talk about it. It's a subject we don't want to face. It's a subject that we don't want to deal with. But in today's world, today's times, we have to. We have to. So with that being said, if you haven't got your affairs in order, if you're still trying to figure out which way you want to go, how you're going to do it, how you're going to make ends meet, you have so many options. If you're in the United States, you can reach out to Miss Everett. If not, you can go online. Find somebody that you're comfortable with. Just see where things are going. But don't leave yourself out there. Don't leave somebody else holding up the bag for you. Especially if you're capable of taking care of everything yourself. I'm your host, Daryl Carr. Thank you again for listening to another episode of Open Discussion. I hope to hear from you again. In the meantime, take care of yourselves. But most importantly, take care of your business.